What's up, Fantasy Docs Nation? This is Dr. Nithin, coming to you today with my first podcast, which I can promise to you will be better than the last season of Game of Thrones. A little bit of background on me. I'm a sports medicine physician with a three-year history of covering Division I NCAA football and basketball. I also have a seven-year history in fantasy football, and I've won my 14-team league the past 2 years, which I attribute primarily to my sports medicine knowledge. There's a lot of physicians out there, there's a lot of sports medicine physicians out there, and there's a ton of people that play fantasy football. But there's very few sports medicine physicians offering their expert advice on fantasy football injuries, and I'm here to give you that. Today, we'll go over injuries affecting 10 of the top 30 ranked running backs and my thoughts on whether they're worth their current ADP. I'll be touching on big names like Todd Gurley and Melvin Gordon, along with some later round decisions you may need to make on guys like Derek Geis and Jerick McKinnon. If at the end of the episode you're still not a fan, all I can say is, I'm trying, Jennifer. It's only going to get better from here. First up, we're going to talk about Melvin Gordon. And Melvin Gordon's ADP right now is about 5, and he's not someone I'm targeting this season. I'll tell you why. So he had an MCL tear late last season, and that resulted in 3 missed games, and that really crucified some people in the playoffs. And it's not that MCL strain that's making me avoid him, because usually those injuries actually respond very well. They have great blood supply, they rarely require surgery, and post-injury performance is pretty similar to pre-injury performance. The reason why I'm not targeting Melvin Gordon is because out of the past 4 seasons, he's had 3 seasons with that knee being injured. And when I'm drafting someone in the top 5, I'm not trying to have them miss the late part of the season. I'd rather go with someone like David Johnson, who's got a new offensive coordinator, a new stud QB who looks like he's about to blow up on the scene and take some pressure off David Johnson. And I feel like he's just going to be a much better value at that range. But if I do end up with Melvin Gordon, you can be sure I'm going to be handcuffing him with Austin Eckler. The next running back on our list is someone you may have heard of. He's been in the news recently, Todd Gurley. He's going right now in the middle of the second round, and for me, that value seems acceptable. His condition is arthritis, and he's in his 20s, so people are pretty confused at why he has arthritis that early. But he did have an ACL surgery about 5 years ago, and with most instances of ACL surgery, there is an increased risk of early onset arthritis about 5 to 15 years. That's right around the area he's in right now. Some people are saying that he's getting PRP injections and stem cell injections, and these are going to cure his arthritis, but that's not true. Those kind of treatments are meant to slow the progression of arthritis, and in some very rare cases, it can reverse the arthritis a little bit, but it definitely won't cure it. My concern with Todd Gurley is that his risk goes up the later in the season he goes, because arthritis is a degenerative condition, meaning that it gets worse over time. It's not an acute condition that gets better as we get away from the injury. So with Todd Gurley, if I do end up with him in the middle of the second round, I feel like I have a running back who's got a back end RB1 ceiling. So what I'm going to do is, if he blows up and has some of those Gurley-esque games, 1 or 2 in a row, maybe even 3, I'm definitely trading him. I'm trying to get as much value as I can for someone who's going to be there later in the season for me, especially with Sean McVay's history of aggressively resting his starters. Also, I feel like Brown is actually Gurley's handcuff, whereas Henderson, who's getting a lot of the hype, is probably just his compliment. Otherwise, I don't really see a purpose for why they re-signed Brown. Next up on the list is Dalvin Cook, and I'm pretty excited about his ADP late in the second, early in the third round. People are understandably worried about him because he suffered pretty significant injuries the past 2 seasons, resulting in multiple missed games. 2 seasons ago, he had an ACL injury, and those take about 1 year to get back on the field from, but it takes about 2 years, I would say, for a player to return to optimal running form. And when Dalvin Cook returned last season, he suffered a hamstring strain. And that can occur after having an ACL repair because the body is loading itself differently and it can unfortunately overload that hamstring area, resulting in a hamstring strain. Now, hamstring strains need to be rehabbed very appropriately, and if they aren't, then they can flare up and knock a player out again for multiple weeks. They usually take anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks, and Dalvin Cook tried to return on the earlier end of it, which resulted in a re-aggravation. Following that, he rested it appropriately and didn't have any issues on his return. So the reason why I'm okay with Dalvin Cook's position is, first of all, because he's a young player, he's a known elite talent, and he's had an appropriate rehab on the hamstring strain and hasn't had any issues regarding his ACL. People are sleeping on Cook, and I think the people who don't take him are going to regret it, and the person who does get him in that third round, they're going to be sitting pretty late on in the playoffs. Another player, speaking of hamstrings, that people seem very concerned about taking is Leonard Fournette. I'm here to say Leonard Fournette will be a solid pick this year in the middle of the third round, and you will get immense value from him. He missed 6 games last season because his hamstring was not appropriately rehabbed, and now it has been appropriately rehabbed, and following his return last season, he did not have any further issues. People say that he's missed 33% of his NFL games so far, and yes, that's true, but that sample size is only 2 seasons, and 2 of those games were due to a suspension. That's too small of a sample size to draw any meaningful data out of. Aside from that, he also has a new offensive coordinator, DeFilippo, who seems intent on running the ball, as well as an upgraded quarterback in Nick Foles, who should take pressure off of Fournette in the box. So long story short, I think you should grab Fournette in the middle of the third, and I think, once again, people who don't grab him are going to regret it. Next up on my list is Devontae Freeman, and he's someone who I'm definitely not targeting. His most recent injury was a sports hernia requiring surgery, and that caused him to miss a lot of last season. I can't justify taking him in the second round when he's had so many injuries over the past couple seasons that have caused him to miss significant time. Another factor in this is that sports hernia is something that can be re-aggravated by abrupt cutting at speed, and that's kind of the running style that Freeman exhibits. He's even gone on the record in a recent interview saying that he thinks that his running style puts him at risk, and he's also said he's going to try and change that. But on the flip side, that running style is what got him to this level of play in the NFL, and if he tries to change that running style, I'm not confident he's going to be able to function at that same high level. He's basically competing against his own injury history, because injury-free, he's a top 10 running back. However, studies show that there is a high return to sport following a sports hernia repair, but there's a significant decrease in games played and career length following hernia repair. That's a huge red flag. This alone would make me pretty nervous, but he's also had an MCL injury, a PCL injury, multiple concussions, and a knee contusion, all resulting in multiple games missed. That all makes this a player I'm just going to stay away from. If for some reason you end up with Devontae Freeman on your squad, I would say that Olesen is his handcuff. I had Ito Smith last year. He didn't impress me at all. Olesen is a very similar runner to Freeman, and I think that if Freeman goes down, they're going to put Olesen in. Next up is one of my favorite players, Kerryon Johnson. He brought the Lions their first 100-yard rusher in about 6 to 7 years, and he did it with style. Kerryon, my wayward son, I'm definitely drafting him if I can get him in the late third, early fourth round. A lot of people are concerned about that MCL injury. I'm here to tell you it's not a factor. Like I said before, MCL injuries heal great, and there's more of a risk of re-aggravation in the same season, but after appropriate rest of around anywhere from 3 to 6 weeks, there's not an issue there. The fact that they didn't even put him on IR for about a week or 2 weeks makes me think that they thought that it was a minor MCL injury, and that they were thinking that he might be able to come back if they still had some playoff aspirations, which, being the Lions, they did not. Another positive factor with this is that new offensive coordinator in the Lions offense says he wants to pound the rock. I don't know why else he wouldn't want to take a possible RB1 in the beginning of the fourth round, but if Kerryon Johnson's there, you better pull the trigger. Don't worry about CJ Anderson. He may take some goal line touches in the beginning of the season, but as Kerryon picks up speed in the second half, CJ Johnson's just going to fade by the wayside. Sony Michel's the next running back on our list. People are drafting him midway through the fourth, but I'm not touching him at this price. There's been reports that he's had bone-on-bone arthritis, and that he also had a scope recently, which held him out of some off-season training. Now, a scope is something that could be anything from just taking a look around the knee joint, to going to clean up some scar tissue, to removing a piece of cartilage or bone. But one thing's for sure, you don't do a scope unless the person is having some kind of pain that makes you want to make a cut and go in and take a look. Now, Sony Michel, similar to Todd Gurley, had an ACL surgery. The difference is, his was done 4 years earlier in 2011. And like I said before, the longer you are out from an ACL repair, the higher the chance that you're having early onset arthritis, which is likely what Sony Michel is dealing with. This combined with the fact that they drafted Damian Harris, who is someone who I can definitely see taking touches away, combined with the fact that the last time the Patriots had a workhorse running back was Stephen Ridley, all the way back in 2012. So the injury history, along with Damian Harris, along with New England's reputation for having a more committee approach, is why I'm avoiding Sony Michel this draft. At that ADP, I'd rather target O.J. Howard or Kerryon Johnson. Philip Lindsay is next up on my list, and I'm definitely not targeting him this draft. He had a scaphoid fracture on his right hand, which apparently is not the hand that he carries the football with, but it still is a big difference maker for me. A scaphoid fracture is one of those injuries that does not heal well and has a lot of residual pain. In addition, he also had some ligament damage, which was likely the most commonly injured ligament, the scapholunate ligament. The problem with this is that it results in permanently reduced grip strength, which you can imagine for a running back is a huge deal. Now, it may not be the ball that he primarily carries, it might not be the hand that he primarily carries the ball in, but he needs that other hand for when he's making catches out of the backfield, for when he's transferring the ball, trying to keep it protected. And in addition to this, he's not that big of a back, which makes any loss of grip strength a big deal for him. Some people are comparing his injury to David Johnson's injury, but they're not taking into account that David Johnson is 225 pounds and 6'1", and compared to Philip Lindsay, who's 5'8 and 190 pounds, probably has a much larger grip than Philip Lindsay. So this isn't really a comparable. That combined with a healthy Royce Freeman in the backfield makes this a situation that is definitely a steer clear from. We're coming on the home stretch now, and one of the last two running backs I'd like to talk about is Darius Geis, who's less than a year out from an ACL. And we talked before about how I feel that 2 years post-ACL is most important for optimal recovery for certain positions, running backs being one of them. But in addition to this, Darius Geis also had a complicated ACL recovery where he had a joint infection that required IV antibiotics, which is definitely not the normal course, and I would imagine results in a more complicated, prolonged recovery, not a shortened recovery, which is what Darius Geis seems to be targeting. In addition to this, the backfield in Washington definitely concerns me in terms of Geis's usage, because Adrian Peterson just tallied 1,000 yards at the ripe young age of 32 last season. AP went on record saying that he's trying to hit 2,000 yards this season. Now, I'm not seeing that happening, but I'm never going to doubt AP because he is literally the exception to the rule. He is the one of two running backs to come back from an ACL tear stronger than previous seasons. So for all those previous reasons, I'm avoiding Darius Geis at any price. If you're still with me, I appreciate you listening. We're at the last running back of the podcast, and that running back is Jerick McKinnon. And Jerick McKinnon tore his ACL last semester, and you all have been hearing me talk about not targeting running backs less than a year out from ACL and trying to wait for their second year back. And there's a good amount of reasoning behind that and some evidence-based research. It's not just my own opinion. There's been numerous examples of this where a study analyzed running backs the season after an ACL injury from 1999 to 2015, and it showed a 50% decrease in touchdowns, yards per carry, and most importantly, a 30% decrease in fantasy points. There's been so many examples of this. Rashard Mendenhall, Ronnie Brown, Keyshawn Moreno, Dalvin Cook. And you know who's been the exception to this rule? Two, Adrian Peterson and LeSean McCoy. So if you think Jerick McKinnon, or any of these other running backs that are coming off of an ACL tear from the year before are in the same class as Adrian Peterson or Shady McCoy, then feel free and take a dart on them. But I'm pretty doubtful about that. And that's one of the reasons, and many of the reasons, I'm not targeting Jerick McKinnon in this draft. Well, that's the podcast, folks. I really appreciate you tuning in. And I know some of you may be wondering, why should I take advice from this person? I don't know who he is. I don't know if he's even a doctor. And that's a fair point. And that's why I've made the decision that when I do reach 1,000 followers, which I'm only about 200 away from now, I'm planning on releasing my name and my credentials, including some articles I've authored in medical journals. Future podcasts will include quarterback rankings, wide receiver rankings, and tight end rankings, so please subscribe to the podcast. But as always, the most up-to-date current information will be posted on Fantasy Docs. So as the season comes up, you'll want to tune in to both this podcast and the Instagram account to have the best shot at taking home that trophy in your league. You heard it here first. Following Fantasy Docs for fantasy football is as rock solid as investing in Apple in 1990.